A hint from Switzerland about U.S. Tax Cut 2.0. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. On a day of impeachment trial proceedings in Washington, President Trump has been speaking to political and business elite gathered at Davos, the annual economic forum in the Swiss mountains. In the last hour, the president took credit for an extended list of attributes of the U.S. economy, anchored by the lowest unemployment in 50 years.
A record number of Americans between the ages of 25 and 34 are now working. In the 8 years before I took office, over 300,000 working-age people left the workforce. In just 3 years in my administration, 3.5 million people have joined the workforce. 10 million people have been lifted off welfare in less than 3 years. Celebrating the dignity of work is a fundamental pillar of our agenda. This is a blue-collar boom.
Critics point out that inequality continues to widen in the U.S., with the richest 1% accounting for one-third of U.S. net worth and the less wealthy half of the U.S. population holding 1.2% of net worth. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is with the president in Davos during an interview at a Wall Street Journal event today. Mnuchin said the White House is working on a new tax cut package expected to be rolled out sometime before the 2020 election. Mnuchin called it Tax 2.0, additional middle income tax cuts. Mnuchin didn't address how another tax cut might impact the deficit, but he did confirm that the administration anticipates a continuation of the trillion-dollar deficits that followed the 2017 tax cuts.
I'll stick with my projections that the tax deal will pay for itself. And I know there's a lot of skeptics out there, but let me just comment on the first 2 years. Revenues are coming in exactly as we expected. Revenues were slightly lower than we anticipated in year one and slightly higher in year two. And I think that was a result of more people taking advantage of expensing.
Mnuchin also asserted Democrats, not the previous round of Republican-led tax cuts, are to blame for increased government spending that's led to rising deficits. He said the president had been ready to cut non-military spending, but Democrats insisted on maintaining those spending levels. Let's check markets. The FTSE in London is down 1.1%. Here, the Dow future down 0.2%, S&P future down 0.4%, the NASDAQ future down 0.5%. The Hang Seng stock index in Hong Kong fell 2.8% today, Shanghai down 1.7%. Some analysts attribute this to concern about a new SARS-like virus that's been spreading human to human, starting from the Chinese city of Wuhan, where at least six people have died. Look at this. It's been 10 years since a watershed moment when it comes to money in politics. January 21st, 2010, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that when it comes to spending cash in elections, corporations are effectively the same as people. Since then, spending on elections has skyrocketed, and the 2020 campaign here is set to be the most expensive yet. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports on how that one case changed campaign finance.
We'll hear argument today in case 08205, Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission.
Citizens United was technically about whether a private company could advertise a movie opposing Hillary Clinton, but it was really about who was allowed to spend money in politics. And the Supreme Court decided just about anyone. Attorney Cleta Mitchell at the firm Foley & Lardner works with Republicans on campaign finance issues. She says Citizens United was a win for political speech.
Now, a million citizens giving a dollar to an organization that's incorporated have the same rights as an individual who can spend $1 million of his own money, as long as it's independent of the campaigns and the candidates.
And not from foreigners. Citizens United was followed by other legal decisions and regulatory rollbacks that lifted contribution limits and helped fuel the rise of the PACs and super PACs that are the big spenders in elections today. It also fueled backlash.
Citizens United has become almost a dogma. There's this religion in opposition to Citizens United.
Kicked off by then-President Barack Obama, who chastised the Supreme Court during his State of the Union address.
Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations, to spend without limit in our elections.
And that's kind of what happened, says Tiffany Mueller, who runs the group End Citizens United, which, well, that's pretty obvious.
As a matter of fact, I think it came true even more than we could have expected. The special interests have been empowered. They're spending more than ever.
Outside spending, as in not directly from a campaign, went from $750 million in the 20 years before the case up to $4.5 billion in the decade since then, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. Robert Weissman is president of the advocacy group Public Citizen.
Most of the outside spending was favoring Republicans in the earlier period after Citizens United. It has now, in the last few years, been more equalized.
And he says it's not just that outside spending is at a record high. It's also more concentrated, with just 25 people responsible for about half of the money going into big spending super PACs. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
In this moment, your public radio station is doing the work to provide you with the real-time political coverage that is shaping our country. Here at Marketplace, we're doing our thing, too, working to raise the economic intelligence of the country with special impeachment coverage happening throughout the day. If you don't hear Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal on your radio during its usual afternoon-evening spot, note you can always listen at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.